All right, we'll start. Mishnah Hay in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph. Yosi ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim, Omer. Yosi ben Yochanan, the man of Yerushalayim, Yerushalmi. He based up a suach. He said, "You based up a suach levacha, that your house be open, be expansively open, and let the poor people be part of your household. Bring them into your household." Then he says, seemingly a whole other issue. He speaks about al tava sicha yema isha. Don't talk too much with the woman. A woman, the woman means that, as the Mishnah says in a second, beishdayamu. It's talking about even the woman, meaning your wife. Kavachomer beishdayamu, for sure, was another man's wife, or basically other women. From this, Nacham learned. A person that talks too much with a woman just brings bad and evil upon himself. It causes himself to have bittul Torah, he's not learning properly. Not only that, but in the end he will inherit Gehinnom. Famous Mishnah that it's all the women liberals people get all upset about. Jacob. Fuck.
I'm upset.
You're upset about this. No. Says not to talk too much about women.
You said upset, so I was like, I guess I'll join the class. I'm upset.
Okay, don't be too upset. Oh, which so, the first part of the Mishnah, I got a cute thing that the Al-Kadar Gershuni brings down. He says a very interesting thing. All these last couple of Mishnahs were speaking about kitot. Basically, two people like this. They brought down like two mandamim, two people, two rabbanim, and then they would go and describe each one. So he says like this: our Mishnah starts off with Yosi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim, which means he was from Yerushalayim. And the last Mishnah was Yosi ben Yoezer of Tzreda. So he has a very interesting thing. He says the teachings are natural offshoot of from where they were. Meaning, well, he explains like this. Yosi Tzreda, which was Yosi ben Yoezer, the last Mishnah, was this small little hamlet. It was a little town. So when you come to a little town, so in a little town, if you know, one guest comes into the town, everyone's like, ooh, you know, let's bring him in, come in, make yourself at home. They're very open. They have a lot of hospitality. But little towns are also not known for their big yeshivas and strong Torah learning. So therefore, the last Mishnah, where Yosi ben Yoezer of Tzreda was speaking, he spoke all about going to the Chachamim and bringing the Chachamim into your home and making yourself, putting yourself out to make sure that you connect with strong Torah learning and Torah sages. This one is talking about Yosi ben Yochanan. He's from Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was a huge city even in those days, as it is now. And there's tons of hotels, there's tons of hostels, there's tons of places where a guest could come and he could easily find a place to stay. That's not the issue. Hospitality is not the issue. Yerushalayim has, the opposite. Yerushalayim has basically a lot of Torah learning. It's a place where there are big yeshivas. And since there are a lot of hostels and a lot of hotels, so the people there might not feel like it's any big thing to take anyone in and bring them into my house. Let them go stay in the hotel across the street. It's, you know, $100 a night. Why should I bring them into my house? So therefore, Yosi ben Yochanan, which is our Mishnah, was basically strengthening the aspect of Yebesva Fasuach Revacha, make sure to open your house, you are Niyim Menei Vestacha, and the poor people should be part of your home. Meaning he was telling them, even though, you know, we have strong Torah learning and we have a lot of hotels and stuff, but still you have to make sure to be focused on the aspect of Achnasas Orphan. Fine, so that's the first part of this Mishnah. Then the next, to start the actual piyush of the Mishnah, it says, Yebesva Fasuach Revacha. Your house should be open wide. It should be expansive. So the Baal Tanura starts off with a imagery of our parshias now that we're speaking about. We're in Lech Lecha, of Avram Avinu. It says that Avram Avinu's tent was open in four directions. It was this tent with doors on all four sides so that wherever anyone came from, they would see an open door. They would go right in. And that's how he basically, one of the things that he drew a lot of people into close to Yiddishkeit by bringing them into his home. There's a medrash that says that next week's parsha, in the beginning of next week's parsha, it says that Avram Avinu was on the third day of the bris, and it was very hot, and he saw some three Arabs, and he ran out to get them, and he brought them in, the whole story with the guests. And they told him that he was going to have a child, It says in the Medrash somewhere, it says that because of Avram Avinu bringing in these three guests, the Yidden were zocha to the man in the Midbar. So Rav Amnon Yitzchak, in his style, he says, so let's make a cheshbon. There were 3 million Jewish mouths to live, to feed in the Midbar. Berach, let's say 3 million, including the women and children. And they received enough for 2 meals per day, 7 days a week, for 40 years. He says that's 6 million meals a day, 42 million meals a week, 2.1 billion meals a year, and by 40 years, it's around 84 billion meals in total. So for Avraham Avinu running out and getting these three guests, he was zocheh his kids to have 84 billion meals. So he says, you can see, every time you do any mitzvah of Achnas HaZorchim, how great the mitzvah of Achnas HaZorchim, how much ramifications it could actually bring. Unbelievable.
Yeah, this is crazy. I was just trying to say when I was talking about, the first 10 generations increased, with the anger was increasing, and then the second 10 and with the anger even was even more increasing, and then when Avraham Avinu came along, he came and took the merit of all of them.
Same. It's all these generations, yeah.
It's all these generations.
And
yeah.
If you think deeply in the story, it was definitely not very hey, I'll invite some guys for Shabbos meal. He was on the third day, he was 100 years old, sitting at the Bris Milah, he was passing out from heat exhaustion. It was the hottest day ever in the world history, and he was sitting there waiting, and he sees these three Arab guys that are trying to avoid him and trying not to make him look at them, walking around, and he runs out and gets, it was a great act, but still, the point is that obviously every act of chesed that we do has tremendous ramifications. The interesting thing that comes out from this, it's just a side note almost, is that it says, the Sfas Emes said last Mishnah, he said, last Mishnah was, in the last Mishnah he said, it was said, you based the Vad l'chachamim, your house should be a meeting place for chachamim. So he said that Beisla was your heart. Your heart should be open to accept the words of the chachamim. So, we can find an amazing allusion to this from this Mishnah, with the Bartanura, as he explains, he says that Avraham Avinu, the lashon that the Bartanura brings down, was Avraham Avinu had a tent that was open on all four sides, so as not to require the guests to go around to find this opening. You got a guy coming, he sees a house, it's the back side of the house, so I'm going to go around, look for it, go by there, go to someplace else to try to look for an opening. So he had it open on all sides. So this brings us back to the Gemara in Menachos, where it speaks about the letter He as being an imagery for coming back to Tshuva. It says that we're Ki'ilu, in the relationship with Hashem, we're in the He, and then it's very easy to fall out, because the He has no bottom. So if a person wants to defile himself and do a virus, it goes whoop, it's like, it takes almost no effort, it's super easy to do, nothing to it. But then a person wants to come back to Tshuva, how does he do that? So let him just go back up. No. The Gemara says he can't just go back up from the bottom hole. I think the Rebbe speaks about it a little bit in one of the Torahs. But he has to climb up the side, over that hump, over that side of the foot of the side foot of the hay, and come back in that way. To do so takes great effort. So Avraham Avinu, it could be an illusion, if we take this last MS, that the heart is really the Beisla, is really the heart. So when he's saying that the heart, he's saying basically that this Mishnah would be saying, based on Pasuach L'Ravacha, that your heart has to be open to all four sides, to receive the guests. This is my own little thought connecting all these concepts. That your heart has to be open on all four sides to receive the guests. What are the guests? What is a guest? A guest is something, or someone, that comes occasionally. Right? If a guest comes every single day, he's eventually not a guest. A guest is something that comes occasionally. So, what does that mean when we take it into the muscle of Kedusha, with the hay, with your heart being open all four sides? It's also something that's things that come occasionally. What are the things that come occasionally? It's signs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a person who's walking down the street or wherever, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him a sign, all of a sudden some Hashkacha Partis happens. Or he meets some guy and this good thing happens, or whatever it is, like Yosef Kudurner sings, Simanim Baderach. There's always signs along the way trying to beckon you to come back to Hashem. So based on Pasuach L'Ravach over here, according to Sfas Emes, according to all this, the Bartanura, would mean that your heart should be always open to such signs. You should always be, your ears is mamish open. If it's I'm thinking about it with this week's Parsha, a famous Sfas Emes, in addition, whenever Shemaiah comes, the Sfas Emes is like 4-4. So the famous Vasemis that I always say over in Parshas Lech Lecha, it says that Akharish Baruch Hu, all the Hasidic Sfarim, a lot of them, translate Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, go out from your artzius, go out from your physicality, be more spiritual. Akharish Baruch Hu is telling Avram to be more spiritual. So Vasemis says that Akharish Baruch Hu actually tells this to everyone, all the time. And in that generation, he told this to everyone in the generation. Avram Avinu was the only one who his ears were open. And it goes to the Mishnah also, and later on in Pirkei Avos, it says, Kol Yom, there's a bas call that goes out from Chorev and says, you know, come back to the Torah. Come back to the Torah. So Mepharshim asks, I never heard that bas call. Did you ever hear it? Did anyone you ever met ever hear that bas call? So what's the point of having a bas call? So the Mepharshim there answer is that the bas call is going out. The question is if we hear it. And the bas call is not necessarily always this heavenly voice coming back. You know, it's like when you're walking down the street and something happens, or you're looking at a Gemara and all of a sudden it clicks and everything happens. Whatever signs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you, come back, that's the bas call. That's the lech lecha, that if our ears are open, we'll be zocher to hear. So that's, I think, a little bit of an illusion of what the Mishnah is talking about. Yibeis pasuach lirvacha, your heart, according to this, should be open to receive these signs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually sending you at different times. Not always, but occasionally. So, myself, from all of this, with Achnosis Ochem, brings us to interesting stuff. That the Baal Shem Tov, in his younger years, as everyone in Rav Ashi's Yeshiva knows, the Baal Shem Tov was a Nistar. He was a hidden tzaddik. Mamish, until he was 36, they say, he was Mamish. Everyone thought he was an ignoramus. And except for his wife, and maybe some Shamish sometimes, but basically except for his wife, but he swore his wife in secrecy, he should not tell anyone. Right? And so they got a little kretschmer, a little inn at the edge of the forest, and whenever people would come around, you know, they would make a little money, they would have a little inn. So the Baal Shem Tov basically made this arrangement with his wife that he had a little hut, a little bit in the forest, he'd sit there and play the dos, davening and learning and davening, flying to the heavens, and his wife would take care of the kretschmer. He said to her, that whenever a guest comes and you have to get ready the beds and get ready the stuff, you should right away come and call me, and I'm going to come and take care of it myself. Baal Shem Tov, you know, it wasn't. He was already flying through the heavens. He was already davening, learning, and he told his wife, "Please come and get me when you have a guest. That I'll actually make the beds and take care of his needs." It's a pella atzum. It doesn't really make sense so much. But if we keep going, there's another thing that that's brought down.
Wow.
His wife could have taken care of
him. No, also he's getting paid. Like, you see this source, you're even helping him without even if he's paying.
Right. But like, you'd think, like, yeah, listen, his wife could definitely do it. They'll make the money. The Hashem could serve Hashem, flying to the heavens all the time, davening and learning. Why would he be bothered by it? So there's a thing from the famous burnt book, the Sefer Nisraf from Reb Nachman, also, that one day Reb Nachman came to his Talmud Reb Nosson, and he said to him, you know, bring writing material, bring a pen and paper. He closed the door, and he started dictating to him, and he just said, write. And he wrote for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And Yimamish, when he came out, he said he didn't understand or remember anything from that entire Sefer HaNisraf. It was obviously giving over to him the secrets of the world. Except for two things. One of the things were that Reb Nosson said the greatness of making a bed for a guest. So, you know,
what was
don't remember. Anyone else remember what
the
sentence
was? No, that was only one thing.
Maybe it was only one thing. I don't remember. Oh, yeah? Okay. Could be
something. Chavos Chaim is not close.
Chavos Chaim is also not close.
Red.
Yeah.
A lot of stories about a kid who used to put the covers
under the... Yeah, so it's apparently...
At 8 years old.
Where were you sitting?
And people used to come to his house and used to put them to a sleep. Like, he used to... Older Bachar, he would also put the cover over them.
Not much take care of them.
Years
old.
Wow.
So you might have.
You were talking.
Yeah. So in the end of the day, the Sefer HaNisraf, as you could tell from being called the Sefer HaNisraf, it was actually burned, and that whole aspect people are. It's the burned book.
Yeah,
it was a book that Reb Nachman dictated to Reb Nosson. It had all the secrets of creation, but Reb Nosson basically, he did a little Men in Black, and he didn't remember anything from what came out from that book. And he just came out, what?
It's like on the Mashiach in there, right?
It was like all the secrets of creation was there.
Reb Nachman, I believe it was the reasons.
You can't see it, it's burned.
Yeah. Yes,
of course. So you want to hear something interesting that just hot off the press? I just heard this yesterday. I was speaking to a guy.
We have one page. Why is it part of it?
Yeah.
Burnt to a crisp. Why was it burnt? So Rav Nachman has a Torah. There are reasons that Rav Nachman alludes to in Chaim Aran, but there's a Torah in the Kutim Aran that speaks about that, how Rav Nachman says that at certain times there's books from the Kofrim, from the other side, that are so powerful that if they were to come out, they would cause huge blemishes and destruction in Klal Yisrael's Emunah. So the tzaddik sometime will write a book that has just as much incredible awesomeness in Emunah and in faith in Hashem, and he'll burn that book, and by doing that, somehow the other book will be destroyed. So that's basically one of the things. So just yesterday, I was speaking to someone, and he was telling me this in this week's Parsha also. There's a famous question that everyone asks on this week's Parsha, is that Noach, last week's Parsha, we know he's a great tzaddik, but right away the Torah starts off, Noach is tzaddik, Noach, Noach, all sorts of like praises and accolades of Noach. Right? Tzaddik, whatever, he was going with him, with Hashem. And then Avraham Avinu, who's the Avinu, we know that all of the Klal Yisrael starts from Avraham Avinu, it starts off, Avraham, go. And how do we know all the stuff that happened before, how he had the tent that was open to four sides, and he was Mekarv Asa Nafesh Asa Asa Becharon, and the Orkazin, he jumped into a fire. How do we know all that? From Midrashim. The Torah doesn't mention a word, so it's very shver, it's very problematic that the Torah does that.
None of it's written in the Talmud?
None of it's written, only from 75 and on. That's where the Torah starts the narrative of Avraham Avinu. So it's very strange. A lot of Mepharshim ask it different. Mepharshim, the Maharal has a whole Mahalach that it's because Hashem chose Avraham Avinu for Avraham Avinu. It has nothing to do with what he did. It's just, he was Avraham, he loved Avraham, and he chose Avraham and the Jewish nation after. It's like a very hard question to understand, an answer to understand. But my friend told me over a Ramban, and he says like this. He says, the Ramban says that the first many years of Avraham Avinu's life was spent finding Hashem, and then always having fights and vikuchim, what do they call that? Bates with the priests and with all the Avodah Zarah people of those generations. So he says, the Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he would have mentioned the narratives of that time, he would have had to also mention that he was arguing with this and this Kofer and this, and then he would have had to mention in the Torah is Nitzchi, it's only real emes is the Torah, he would have had to mention these arguments of the Kofer. Since he couldn't mention that because it's absolute sheker and hevel, so he couldn't mention the whole first many years of Avraham's life until it was 75, and he left the Chamei Arzach, and he went out and he did his own thing. It's only the Medrash, only the Medrash. All these are the little Medrash says.
It was really the big one.
It also doesn't say thanks. It doesn't say thanks.
It doesn't say what?
It doesn't say what Kerr was fighting about.
Ah, yeah.
Because it's for sheker.
So that's mamish like this, like this thing with the burnt book, that sometimes there's such kfira in the world that you can't mention the kfira because you have to destroy the kfira, and even with that you might destroy good things. You could have mentioned Rukazi, you could have mentioned all this stuff, but you didn't mention any of it because you didn't want to have that garbage, that falsehood.
The question that initiated that response was somebody asked the question. We have all these Davim, we have other Davim, we knew he wrote like 1,000 sefer on the Avodah Zarah. He said, Where did they go? So then Rabbi Nachman proceeded, he said, this is what, he said, you know why are they hidden or why they were burnt? He said, because of this reason.
Wow.
There's a reason that.
Wow.
That reason. That's what that
is. Yeah. The whole Ramban.
There's not a sefer from Avodah.
Yeah.
Sirisira.
Not a sefer.
Raziel, that.
Sefer about kashrut chickens.
Oh, yeah?
Interesting. I don't know if you can kashrut chickens. Rabbi Nachman said there was a statement that was said. He said it's not at all. In fact, it was known that it should be that it was burnt.
What do you mean?
He said there was none. Yeah.
So, anyways, getting back to the point is that Rabbi Nachman also, Rabbi Shem Tov was telling his wife to come from his devotion to come make a bed. Nachman was giving over the Sefer Nisra. The only thing that we took out from that, we could actually, as followers of Nachman, is that there's a great thing to make a bed for a guest. So what is this whole thing that we're speaking about of making beds for guests? So Rabbeinu Yonah, when he's speaking about this Mishnah, he says, L'ruvacha, it doesn't mean necessarily make your house wide open. He says, make your house expansive in the sense that people should feel expansive in it. When people walk into your house, they should start to feel like no matter what constriction they were in, they were having a bad day, they walk in, they're like, ah, you know, that's not so bad. You know, all you come
that
to
a
home.
That's right there.
What?
Sounds like you're honest right there.
Yeah.
Because the other parts you can't control.
The other what?
The other parts you can't control. How big, how small, how nice.
Ah.
You can control how they. You can definitely control the atmosphere.
Right.
Something, or you could try your best.
That's what he says. So if it comes to this, we can start to understand that basically the point of the bringing this hospitality is to bring people into a home, and it's to bring people to feel better. It's brought down in many of the Kiruv masters of today's generation, is that a lot of people came close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu much more from going to a speech and hearing some guy say, you know, Torah is MS. He came into a guy's house for Shabbos, and he saw the beauty of Shabbos, he saw the candles, they saw the kids jumping on his head, they saw the food and everything, and his mirrors. It was so nice that opened them up. Why? Because a lot of times when you hear things from a Rebbe, you hear a speech, you hear a Torah, so it's very nice, like we were speaking a few weeks ago, like it's very nice, it's Torah, it's things, but how do you know that it's real? How do you know that it's integrated into a person's life and it's something that he breathes and he lives? You go to a guy's house and you see that he gives over everything he got to you, and he's mamish, a real kind person that makes a much deeper impression upon a lot of people. And it could be that that's a little bit the sense of why Reb Nachman and Baal Shem Tov were. Obviously, there's sodot, that we have no idea about how great this is. But in a way that we can understand it is that it's a tool that basically brings people closer to Hashem even more powerfully than Svarim and stuff like that. The Medrash Shmuel learns as follows. He learns a different way to learn up acute, so to speak, knitch on the words. He based up a sachar vacha. He says, not your house should be open levacha. He says, when is your house going to be open levacha? When you bring in poor people to eat in your home, and you're about tzedakah, about chesed, then he based up tzedakah levacha, so then your house is going to be very successful in every way. And the Magen Avraham, not sure if he's the posek Magen Avraham or a sefer on Pirkei Avos Magen Avraham, I think would make more sense. I'm not sure. He says a different unique lesson in these worlds. He says that many times a person might feel that, like, you know, he really just wants to give and give and give. He should give everything away. He should live in a little one-bedroom apartment with the crumbling walls, and he'll just give and give meals and everything to everyone, and he will never take anything for himself. So Magen Avraham says, your house should be nice. Your house should be expensive. You could have a nice home. You could have a three-bedroom, a four-bedroom even. He says, you don't have to suffer. You don't have to ruin yourself. As long as you remember that the point is to have a nice home so that your door could be open and that you could bring in guests and that your house should be a clean, again, to do what we said before, to just help people and make them feel more expensive and to bring them closer to Hashem. So on this topic, I once asked Rav Duvid Rizal, the Yid that, again, that hangs around in the forest, if you ever bump into him. So I asked him once, I don't understand, it says in the Torah that you have to give Meiser. And if you really want, you could give a chomesh, 20%, but after that, no, don't give it out. I was like, what does that mean? Like, the point of our money is to give tzedakah. Not so I could have a bigger house, I could have nicer food and clothing. What am I going to do with my 80%? The guy's making a lot of money, you know, $8 million a year. Why doesn't he give away $7 million? I'll be left with, you know, $3 million. It doesn't make sense. So he said to me, he gave me a whole answer. He says that in the Shema, it says, you have to serve Hashem b'chol moedecha, which the Mishnah says, b'chol m'maynecha, with all your money. You have to serve Hashem with all your money. He says that the Rebbe, Rav Nachman, I think in Sefer HaMidos, says that if a person gives away a chomesh, a fifth, which is 20% of his earnings, it's as if he was giving away all his money. B'chol m'maynecha, he was mekayim 100%, b'chol m'maynecha, with all his money. So then he said a story from Rav Chaim Vital, a famous story brought down. In what? Oh, no, that would be a different part. He says a story from Chaim Vital, a famous story, the Talmud from the Ari. He says that when Rabbi Chaim Vital used to teach Torah, he says that he never would take any payment for it. Because in Zalacha, they asked us to take payment for a Torah. So he ran a little clothing store, a little fabric store. My kids are one night, the local ganef, you know, in the Rav Shlomo stories always, there's the local ganef, there's the local water carrier. Everyone knows him, he's the ganef. I was once in the mix, the guy's like, by the way, that's the ganef. Like, that's the ganef, so like, watch your wallet. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, he's like there every day, you know.
He's
the ganef.
He's the water carrier.
That tall guy, the guy with the red beard, is the ganef. mikvah talk, whatever. But I really don't know if he's actually a ganav, because now I've seen him many years later. I think he's just like mentally unstable. I don't know if he actually steals, but the guy saw him and he sees him every day. He's there for like 3 hours. So it's mukhaf that a guy that's sitting there for 3 hours, he goes out and in and out and in for 3 hours. Seems like he's, you know, taking things, but I think he's just whatever. He's a very, 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 very spiritual person, so he spends a lot of time in the mikvah, in and out. Anyways, I was once in the mikvah Ari and I saw a sign up there on that, like, that side wall when you're getting undressed. It said, in Hebrew, it said, if anyone got like 2,000 shekel or a large amount of money stole from them around a year ago, I did tshuva, I want to give it back. He says he wants to give it back. Or you can call this number. If you can give simanim around when it was, then I'll give it back.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So, anyways, so the local ganav comes to the store from the Rav Chaim Vital. Probably wasn't a very smart store to try to rob, but he comes to Rav Chaim Vital's store and he picks his donkey in the middle of the night, almost 2 a.m, and he starts, you know, breaks open the thing and starts loading up all the merchandise on his donkey. He's gonna make a quick getaway. Puts up tons of stuff and he's like, okay, let's go. Donkey doesn't move. Boom! He like starts slamming the donkey. Donkey's like just sitting there taking the beatings. He's like, fine, you know, you don't use the rod. He takes out the juicy cat. He's like, no. Let's go. Nothing. The guy wouldn't move. He's sitting there trying every eitzah in the world. Finally, he starts to get, you know, closer and closer to the light. You know, alosha shachar, people start to mull around in their houses, getting up the nates. He's like, I'm not getting caught. He starts, he throws everything in, folds it back up, closes the door, and he comes to shul, of course, in the morning, the local ganav. And after davening, Rav Chaim Vital comes over to the ganav, you know, with his Ruach HaKodesh, and he says, you should know. Do you know why you weren't able to rob my store last night? He's like, me? What?
You know?
He says, do you know why you weren't able to rob my store? Because I give a chomish to tzedakah. And he says, a chomish, if you give a chomish to tzedakah, it's a protection. So Rav David Rizal ended off, he said, do you know why it's a protection if you give a chomish? Because of what Rav Nachman said. Rav Nachman said that if you give a chomish, if you give 20% of your earnings, it's as if you were mekayim b'chomim b'necha with all your money. Which means, if a guy gives away all of his money, he doesn't have any money left. So if you give away 20%, it's as if you have absolutely no money, so all the rest of your money is totally protected. So he says that's the shot in that story with Rav Chaim Vital, and that's a shot why you don't need to give away all your money. I mean, it doesn't, you know, what you do with the rest of the money, that goes for each person individually. However, you don't need to give away all your money. There's people that, you know, like these people from Oz V'Hadar, I this is just my own amazement that they, you know, instead of necessarily giving away all their money, they make an entire ma'arechet, the whole thing, where Tamir Chachamim could make a parnasa and they give out these farm and they have a whole business. So, you know, you could do things with your money that's not necessarily giving it away to
tzedakah. And then you can make like huge, you can spend $1,000 a week on a huge Shabbos meal.
Exactly.
And 20 people over.
Right. There's what to do, don't worry. And like we're saying, also, if you open up your home, it's a good thing to have a nice home, because then when you open it up, it's good. My Shik has an important thing also. It's getting late. We'll try to. Actually, we're not going to finish up the Mishnah, but let's finish up the first half of the Mishnah. He says, Rav Shik says, that these two statements are actually a very important lesson. He says, you got these people sometimes that are kirev people, and they have 100 guests every Friday night, 100 guests every Shabbos day, and they have tons of people walking in and out of their house. It's like, wow, what a home. You think these people are amazing. Now, Rav Shik says it's a beautiful thing to have that. However, v'yu aniyim b'nei v'istecha, which you can translate as v'yu aniyim b'nei v'istecha, consider your b'nei v'istecha at least as important as the aniyim. Meaning, a lot of times these people get so caught up in doing their chesed, and their kids are like, tati, 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 you know, look at my daf kesher, look at my parsha. She's like, I'm talking to the guests, I'm doing kirov. No. They should be at least as important. Yeah, you take them in, you talk to them, and treat your family at least, if not obviously, more as important as the aniyim that you're trying to quote unquote be makarev. Which, anyways, if you treat your family garbage, that might not do the trick. The next shot that we can end off with is just based on what Rav Nachman says in one of the Torahs in the Kutim Maharan, Torah 175.
You have this all there?
Yeah.
It's all written in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a purchase.
Plus minus.
It's a purchasable book.
Yes. Anyway,
I'm your agent here.
Yeah. So he says like this. The Rebbe has a famous Torah. He says that a person can't come to really crying to Hashem if he's just broken and not in a simcha, from a simcha state. He says that we see an allusion to this from the pasuk "B'Shimcha Yegilin Kalayim." B'Shimcha Yegilin Kalayim is that the literal translation is that in your name I'm rejoicing all day. But the Rashi Tevis, the first letters of each of those words, fell out Bechia. So Nachman says that a person, Bechia, crying. A person that wants to come to a true cry has to come from Abba. A person has love, a tremendous love towards Hashem. Then he could feel like, wow, what did I do to my relationship with this? A person, Sam, doesn't have any real connection to Hashem, so then what is this? He won't feel that brokenheartedness in a true way. This could be being alluded to in the words of this Mishnah also. It says, yeah, Beisla, again, Beisla could be your heart, could be your personal insides, basically. Beisla pasuach l'rvacha, your heart should be open to expansiveness, that you should have simcha, first, right? You based on pasuach l'rvacha. You should always be open and expansive in simcha, and only then be aniyim b'nei beisecha. Then you can start taking in the aniyim, which are the sadder parts of your existence, and start crying out to Hashem. If you have that openness and that expansiveness, then the cries that you ask and cry to Hashem are not kvetching, but they're actually expressions of your love that you want to just come closer to Hashem. All right, shkoyach, Hashem yizakeinu.
Mine.